Hello, this is Pearls and Swine. I am Levi. I have Nate to my right, and across from me is Travis. And today we're talking about Palm Sunday.
Yeah, which is coming up this Sunday, March 28th.
It is the beginning of the Holy Week. And I remember as a kid, they would make you parade through the church, and you'd come in with these palm branches. I'd always get in trouble because I thought it was funny to whip the kid in front of me and smack him a couple of times, and then I would somehow get in trouble for that. But they never took my palm branch away.
That's surprising.
Yeah, that's impressive. I always had mine taken away. My brothers and I used them to whap each other across the face with, and you would always leave the like red tiger marks on their cheek from them. So that was good memories of Palm Sunday.
What about you, Nate?
I mean, I remember the palm branches, but that was about it. We waved them. We didn't really hit each other. Nothing special.
All right. Well, Palm Sunday was kind of an eventful time for us as we had palm battles and things of that nature. But it actually is a fairly significant moment in the Christian calendar and in the Christian kind of celebration. It's the beginning of Holy Week. It is a time that a lot of churches recreate the celebration of Jesus' final arrival into Jerusalem. And the people in the scripture, it tells us that the people were lining the streets and they were using the palm branches to honor him as king. Palm Sunday is the last Sunday in Lent and the Sunday right before Easter. It's the beginning of Holy Week and the most important week of the year, really, for Christians. It is, really intense type of, you have Good Friday in there. Some people will do a Seder service. There's a lot of different elements that are going on in that time. Palm Sunday changes every year because Easter changes, obviously, every year because it goes along with the Jewish celebration. Easter goes along with the Jewish celebration of Passover,
which is based on the lunar calendar. Yeah, but it's a very significant event in what Jesus does, even in setting it up, because he told his disciples, go to the next village and find a donkey there. They found a donkey and they didn't pay for it or anything, but they were just
the Lord needed it.
They were just supposed to ask and take it. And this guy was like, oh, okay, that works. And so they take it and bring it back to Jesus. And the funny thing is the disciples don't understand the significance of this. Like, they don't figure that out till much later. And Jesus, I think, is a lot more aware because there's that prophecy that talked about your king is coming to you gentle and riding on a donkey. And so Jesus, in doing this, riding on a donkey to Jerusalem, he's declaring himself as their king.
Yeah, that's in Zechariah, I believe.
Yep. Yeah, yep.
But it's different than what they were expecting. They were expecting, like, the king would become rolling in with chariots or on a war horse or something, and he's on this lowly donkey. So he's already flipping things around from what people would assume.
Yeah, because the Romans, king would come. The Romans would always do these victorious processionals where they wear – or not wear. Well, they would wear white, but they would ride a white horse. And they would like drag all the slaves that they had just conquered behind the back of the processional. So like the people could stand on the side of the streets and cheer and all that. And so in some ways, this is a very humble version of that, if you will, because he's on a donkey.
Right, but they believe something in that because they're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, which is, I believe, Yisha Ana or something like that in Hebrew, which means come save me or I beseech you to save me, something of that nature. It's really they're asking him to save them. Mm-hmm. And he is going to become the savior of the world, but they don't understand what they're actually asking. He does actually what they asked him to do. It's just not what they thought.
Yeah, they want him to be that conquering general who's going to kick out the Romans, reestablish the kingdom of Israel, and put them back on the map, if you will, of being this self-sufficient and conquering people.
I think the cool thing is that Jesus understands that he is marching into a battle. He's marching into the final battle of death and sin, and he knows that he's going there. He knows there's tension in that. He knows that there's significance in that. And he knows that he's going to be the sacrifice, but he's still, he's still charging hard ahead like a good soldier.
Is it the reason that they put above Jesus when he's crucified, that King of the Jews, is that all stemming from what they were doing in that Palm Sunday walk-in? Because they're laying down their coats, they're laying down the branches, which is symbolism for this is our king.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder, is that how they got that? That saying, the King of the Jews, over top of him?
Well, yeah, the religious rulers say, like, he declared himself to be the King of the Jews. But in Scripture, there's no really point in which he says, I am the King of the Jews in front of them, really. He essentially confirms that with Pilate, but this event, I think, would. Because, once again, it's, like, fulfilling that prophecy that your king is coming to you riding on donkey. And so for someone to ride a donkey into Jerusalem, they're making the statement that I am this coming king who is prophesied about. And if you'll notice, the religious rulers responded really quickly to this event too. They're like, hey,
you need to
shut the mouths of your disciples.
Yep.
This is not right. And Jesus said, well, if they shut up, then the rocks will cry out. Even nature will declare this, because this is a very significant event. This is very important, because I am who I say I am. I'm the king. I am the one who has come to establish God's kingdom.
I think part of it was that religious leadership also became nervous because the amount of people that were doing this. They were literally,
sure,
like, they're putting their coats and the branches down, which is like would be akin to us, our saying of rolling out the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
They're mm-hmm. allowing him to enter into this thing. And so I think they become nervous of where their power structures are, who's going to be listening to them, you know, where is their money going to be coming from? Because if all these people are following him, there's a huge shift in power at that point.
Well, they're probably thinking, well, we need to stop a war, right? Because the people, sure, are probably like, hey, let's go. Let's take out these Roman soldiers. Let's make this happen. And they're trying to protect themselves for sure, because they're symbiotic in this power, a relationship with Rome. But I think there is some good motivation there. They're trying to keep people from getting killed by the Roman soldiers coming through and just wiping out this mob. And
well, and their interpretation of the prophecy of the Messiah that they are assuming is going to be fulfilled is that they're going to rule politically.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to rule nationally, but Jesus came to conquer that and rule spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's completely different than what they're expecting. And you see that in the people, you see that in the Pharisees, you see that in everyone around him. Like, they're expecting this big, like you're saying, like this war, this thing, this event to happen. And Jesus is like, no, you don't even understand.
Yeah. And, you know, there's this big transition that takes place. Jesus declares himself to be the king. He goes into his temple. He is there. He teaches even a little bit, and then he leaves. And it's kind of anticlimactic, but that next week is very significant. Like we said,
yep.
Easter is coming, which means Jesus is going to be arrested and tried and then crucified and ultimately raised from the dead.
There's other things going on too, like mm-hmm. Son of David is being declared on him, which he literally isn't the Son of David, but he's from the lineage of King David, which is also talked about in the Old Testament, that there's going to be one that is anointed, the Messiah, that is coming from the lineage of David. And he was actually from the lineage of David, both on his mother's side and his father's side.
Yeah. And so that was very significant, because not anyone could make this claim, but Jesus had every right to, because he was the Son of David and also the Son of God. That helps. People had begun to wonder about Jesus. Is he this Messiah? Is he the one that we've been waiting for? Because there was a sect or a way of thought believing, hey, the next big thing to happen is going to be the Messiah is going to come. And so there were some people who were just itching and ready to follow whoever the Lord would reveal to be this king. And so when Jesus makes this public declaration, there's got to be a ton of tension. And Jerusalem's got to be packed at this point. People are coming from all over to prepare and celebrate for the Passover. And so there's a ton of people around, and it's kind of a powder keg.
Yeah. So the Passover, if you're not familiar with that term, is when God allowed
the Israelites to move out of Egypt, and they had to take the blood of a lamb, put it over their doorpost, and if they didn't do that, their firstborn was basically killed, right? Or he died. And so the Passover, though, was a celebration of the Pharaoh basically saying, you can go, and God freeing his people from that. And Jesus, he is our Passover lamb. He is that lamb that God talked about in that. And so there's all this symbolism that's working also in this Holy Week that you're preparing for. And so part of it is they're preparing for this Passover, which there were just like thousands and thousands of animals that were going to be slain at that. One thing I think I read is like 40,000 sheep or stuff. So you can just hear, like, if you're listening in Jerusalem. And then just the roar of the city, just it, you know, it's humming, you know, it's like Vegas on steroids at that point. So there's going to be bloodshed. There's all these animals there. There's probably no rooms that you can rent at that point. And Jesus is cruising in, and this is a significant thing. So I don't think it's just like Sideshow Bob on this thing. This is fairly significant what's happening on Palm Sunday, because it incites the leadership, the religious leaders.
I think you see the different reactions play out. You know, you saw the people that were declaring him, he is who he is. He's the king. He's coming. So they're accepting him. We see the Pharisees shut those people up. They're rejecting him. And then you see something super interesting as he's riding in on the donkey. And it's talking about where he wept over the land. And I think that's what we're talking about. He comes in, he sees the city, there's all this stuff going on. But yet there's still people that are going to be indifferent about him and who he is. And I think that's one of the scariest places to be. And the Revelation talks about that being lukewarm, being indifferent, and you'll be spit out of God's mouth. And Jesus is seeing these people, and he knows what's going on because he's fully God, he's fully man, and he cries. It breaks his heart to see that people, you know, they, if only they had known, is what I feel like. Man, if only they would have known who I am. And so that's what one big thing that—
Well, even the people that did know, though, were they're still confused.
Yeah, they're confused. But that's where my heart really goes to on Palm Sunday. Like, if people would just know. And so I'm always encouraged with Palm Sunday of, like, that's a time to share the gospel. It kind of revitalizes me. It's kind of that hoorah. Like, get in the game. Get in the game, man. Share your faith. Live this thing out. Like, who can you share? Because we know Good Friday's coming, darkest day in all of human history, but then we know that the celebration of Easter is just around the corner, and that gets so exciting to be able to bring people out. Like, lots of people might not go to church regularly, but they're not going to be super offended if you ask them to come to Easter, because that's a pretty well-known holiday.
Yeah, yeah, and the most significant holiday for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Christmas and I like Easter. And it's funny because for pastors, it's not, you know, you guys all get your time off and all of that stuff. We're working, and we also love it. And Easter never gets old. Christmas never gets old to me in telling the story of what Jesus did for us, that he went to the cross for us. But he walked in on that Palm Sunday with totally different expectations. And I think for all of us, as we walk toward Holy Week, what is your expectation of God? What is your expectation of what he should be doing or how he should do it? And you start reading the scriptures, and there's this marvelous story of what God did for us through what Jesus did on the cross for us. And we see the redemption that we have. We see that we can have forgiveness of our sins, and we can have a restored relationship with God through what Jesus did, because his blood was shed on the cross for us.
Just brings a thought to my mind, Levi. In seminary, I had a professor, and he talked about the creativity of God, that God is super creative. And yet he has these patterns that he does, very similar things. And yet he's so creative in repeating these patterns. He does these patterns, but he never does the same thing twice. And, you know, when I think about people's testimonies, when people have this encounter with God, with Jesus, It's always something new. It's always something a little bit different. That God struck someone in a little different chord, a little different way, because he's so creative. I think that's something that we need to remember, that, you know, our God can impact people in all kinds of different ways. And so as we're looking to celebrate him as our king, it doesn't have to happen one specific way. Our God is creative. He can do it in all kinds of different ways. But we need to lower our expectation and allow him to reign in his capacity, in his way of doing things, and understand he's creative. He's going to do it in all kinds of different ways. And so let's hop on board and see how he's going to change things up next.
Hey, thanks for listening. We're at 900 Memorial Road in Houghton.
And as we always mention, we have two services here at Evangel, 9:30 and 11. And if you're not connected with a local church, man, we would love to have you.
And if you have any questions, contact Travis.
Travis at evangelup.org.